stories told about one boy. One time, teacher told him to go find out what grace is. Amen. Little boy didn't know the definition for grace, so he went home and asked his mama, "Mama, what is grace?" Mother said, "I don't know, baby. I think it has something to do with God's pardon or something about God's love." Little boy wasn't satisfied with that, so he went out and he asked his daddy while he was shaving. He said, "Daddy, mama didn't seem to tell me what grace was, so what is grace?" Daddy was a theologian. He said, "Well, son, it's unmerited favors of God." Little boy said, "That's a big word definition. I don't know how to explain that to my teacher." The old father said, "Well, baby, maybe I don't understand it either. Grandmama out on the porch, go out there and ask her." Yeah, yeah. So little boy went out and asked grandmama, rocking in the chair. "Grandmama, mama told me grace was something that I couldn't really understand. And daddy gave me a theological definition that was too hard for me to comprehend. So grandmama, they told me to come ask you, what is grace?" Grandmama, rocking in the chair, said, "Well, baby, grandma didn't have a chance to go to school. I don't know nothing about theology. And I can't really tell you what grace is. But grandmama can tell you what it's like." Yeah. "Well, what is it like?" "Well, the first thing I can tell you, baby, it's amazing." Yeah. So many times I couldn't understand it, but all I could say, it's amazing. Yeah. And then I want to tell you, it saved an old wretch like me. Whatever it is, I once was lost, but now I'm found. One day, grandmama was blind, but now she can see. The little boy was satisfied. He understood grace. I want to tell you, we throw away the old church sometime, but you're going to need them. Some of you tonight, I don't understand how a woman can raise 12 children by herself. And when she get old, 12 children can't see about her. Great God, you ought to remember the old wisdom and keep them around sometime. If you can't keep her, and if grandmama's in the nursing home, you ought to go see her. Great God, old folk know the way. And then old people don't need to kill out the young. Step aside, teach young people how to play a part in the church. If you kill out all your young people, when you die, you won't have no church.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
All of the time. Amen. Thank you so much. A few announcements. First of all, let us pray for our own Sister Andrea. Bab and her sister in Texas, correct? Michelle had a major stroke on Friday. We're asking you all to continue to pray with her and for her. And you know how we do it. We're not going to leave without praying. Amen. So glad to see my cousin Tawana back. Amen. Bless you. I called you out. God bless you. Another announcement. I met with the medical staff of our church, Dr. Oldham and Sister Melanie Taylor, and they did say it is now safe to lift the mask mandate of our church. But if you prefer to continue to wear your mask, please do so. But the mask mandate has been lifted, and also the temperature checks at the door is concluded. But if it rises again, if they rise again, they will contact me, because I believe in following the medical staff. Amen. We kept it in place until they gave us the okay to lift it. God is good. Continue to pray for our men, our little candidates. They took the water well. Wasn't a tear shed. Amen. Wasn't a tear shed. Which I'm glad for Reverend Slaughter today, one of our associate ministers. Let's thank God for all of our associate ministers. Pastor Kirk, Reverend Dearborn. And they're just coming in working. Reverend Kirk gave a dynamic message at the nursing home. And man, it was powerful. Amen. And we all, our own Reverend Dearborn has been helping with the mission. And so we want to give Reverend Slaughter his chance to stand. And we got them prepared before the year out. These other two brothers will preach to us. And aren't you glad to have good guys like that? I know I am. I've never had a trouble, not out of neither one of them. And they have really helped me so much become a brother pastor. After a briefly hymn, the next voice you will hear will be our own Reverend Avon Slaughter. Amen. Pastor Dinah Grammer will say this: if there be powerful preaching from the pulpit, there need to be powerful praying in the pews. All right. I need thee, oh. Let us stand. I need thee. Can we say it again? Come on. I need thee, oh, I need thee. What you're asking to do. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come with my heart been broken. I come. Don't know how you're going to pay your bills next week, but I come. Don't know where you're going to be by this time next year, but I come to thee. Give God a hand clap of praise.
Amen. I don't know what you come to do, time, but if you came in the house of the Lord, you ought to show some sign. I don't know if you made it all week, and you ought to give God some kind of.
All right. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, gracious Father, I thank you. Lord, you set me down, oh, gracious Father. You stand up in me, oh, gracious Father. Oh, gracious Father, you use my tongue, my eyes, this body for whatever you want to be done. You speak to your people. Thank you for this morning, oh, gracious Father. Lord, for that's waking me up this morning, oh, gracious Father. Watching me all night long. Kept the deaf angel away. Kept the crooks away, oh, gracious Father. But, oh, gracious Father, I just thank you for all that you've done. In many a blessing, we give your name to praise. Amen and amen. To Pastor, I thank you for just letting give me a stand where God appointed you. To these other ministers who share this task with us. Reverend Dearborn, Reverend Kirk, I feel like a little child on Christmas. I just happy to be here. If you have your Bibles, would you travel with me to Luke 15th chapter? If you don't, go ahead, Reverend. I'm with you. When you say it, have it in Luke 15 and 11. This particular passage is very familiar. And I want to use maybe one or two verses. Is that all right?
Amen.
Would you just read with me the first two verses? Number 11.
Well, number one.
First and the second. Our father has two sons. Well, I meant to, excuse me, have two sons. And the youngest son asked his father, give me portion of my goods.
All right.
You may be seated.
All right. God bless you.
When I looked at this particular passage, and it made me realize in 2022, it fits right in. This young man, I don't know if his buddies was out and moved to other cities or whatever, and he hung around home, and his other buddies came home, and he seen what they was driving, and
all right.
Seeing how much money they was making, and you know, we like that.
Yeah, man.
And he said, well, you know, I love being at home and I love mom and daddy, but I just want to stretch my wings and make my own way in life. And now at this time and at this, in this region, the firstborn gets double. Now, I know he didn't really want to leave. He leave and didn't get what his portion because he didn't know if Junior was going to share with him. You know, when you the firstborn, you always get double. But this young man went to his father, say, Dad, give me my portion of goods. And I could imagine his dad said, well, son, everything is all right. Yes, Dad, everything is all right. But I just want to step out on my own.
All right.
He said, son, you sure? Yes, yes, Dad. I just want to be, to go to the biggest city. Now, it could have been the Windy City, Chicago, It could have been New York, or the Big Apple. It could have been Los Angeles, the City of Angels. It could have been the city by the bay, San Francisco. Whatever city he wanted to be there.
All right.
Well, and Father, a few days later, he gave him his portion.
All right.
Now, every man in here at one point or another, growing up between 15 and 18, I'll be glad when I get grown.
Tell the truth, brother.
Don't sit up here and act like I'm the only one said that.
You ain't by yourself, man.
Because, see, when I grew up in the country, see, when you got out of high school during the summer months, you couldn't lay in mama's bed, 8 o'clock in the morning. By 6:30, you was up. And see, I was raised up in the country. I was picking peas, milking cows, hauling hay, fixing fences. And I said, Lord, when I get 18, it's got to be better than this. You see, now, I wanted to set the stage for you. This young man, he went to this foreign city. Now, look at the story. He lived it while he's living.
Huh?
Oh, he drunk cognac.
Hey, did we do it?
Huh?
Hey, did we do it?
Crown Royal.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man, you know, can I go on here that's really don't breaking on down? See, now, some of y'all in here, when you had a pocket full of money, oh, you had a nice crib, a nice car, and everybody want to be your friend.
All right.
Everybody.
Come on,
man. Huh? Yeah. They come to you, man, can I borrow $20 or $30? You reach in your pocket, you hand it to them. Oh, the prodigal son, oh, man, these my friends. Oh, yeah. But see, now, the prodigal son didn't know what his father said. Lord, you look after my child.
All right.
Lord, wherever he goes, you watch over him.
Uh-huh.
I'm not there to guide him, but Lord, you watch over him.
Yes, sir.
Lord said, well, I got it. I got two people going to watch over him. Huh? Grace and mercy. Mercy and grace. Gonna watch him. This young man, oh, he partied, got to the club. Oh, level one. Come on, man, let's party. And he tell the waitress, don't let us go dry. Oh, y'all sitting there like it, that's only me.
They know what you're talking about, Reverend. They know what you're talking about.
Oh, man, it's about 1:30, 1:45. You hear one thing. Let's call for Aki Hall. And everybody started shifting to the bar. Oh, man, you go at work and they say, well, Larry, what you gonna do this weekend? I don't know, man. Tim talking about he gonna have a fish fry Friday. I don't know, man. And you got a new club opening. Oh, man, we ought to get there. Boy, you go get your hair cut. You go to the cleaners. You get your pants so starched that they can stand up by themselves. Come Friday evening, you get off. Time to go to the barber shop. Oh, man, your hair cut. You leaning so far to the right till people thought you was in the passenger seat. Oh, well. I will, Pastor. Pastor, Reverend Dearborn, I guess it was just me. Because, amen, when we had them Delta 88s and Delta 98 cars, oh, man, we get down the road, we blow, blah, blah, what's up? But I'm letting you know, I'm just setting the stage how people will do you as long as you got. Oh, he parted. Forgotten money was getting low. Oh, wait a minute, man. He's starting to hock at his jewelry. His friend's starting to slowly
disappear.
That's it, bro. Yes, sir. Before he got broke, they got called all day long. Now you try to call him. He tells his children, listen, tell them I'm not here. They come to the door. Hey, your daddy home? He's not off work yet. Tell him I came by. All right. He be in the den watching football, basketball. Where is the guy that we hung together? Prodigal son was starting to go down.
All right.
He was starting to lose friends. Uh-huh. Have you ever just really lost friends? But I've learned this here, Pastor. A real true friend.
Yes,
a real true friend gonna tell you about yourself.
All right.
Huh? You getting mad at my man. But when you think about it later, you know he was right.
All right.
A real true friend gonna stick there more closer than a brother. See, when you get drunk and get in trouble, they forget all about you.
Yeah.
Now look at it. He had got to a lowest end in his life.
All right. Yes,
he did. He ended up the first and last place he really wanted to be.
Come on, home.
A hog pen. Now, grace and mercy, so you know, you had a place. You knew you wasn't raised this way.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Your father and mother taught you. Yeah. Taught you better than this.
Yeah.
Grace said, you know you can go home.
All right.
But see, self-pride,
I
get you every single time.
Yeah.
And I know what he probably said. He said, mercy, I can't. I left home wrong.
Yeah.
And Grace said, wait a minute. He's your father.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's your flesh and blood. He loved you. No matter what you have done,
right.
You still can come home.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
See, you have to be low. Where you can look up. See, I heard Pastor say he can be flat on your back and looking up. But you can be down and still look up. See, I learned you can't count on everybody. When they say you're your friend, where was you when I went to jail? Did you bid anything on my book? Did you write me? Did you ever? Man, where was you? You sit there, the unthinkable happens. He reaches down so hungry till he eats slop. Now, any country boy will tell you, eating out of a hog pen is not the prettiest sight you ever want to see. Huh? She said, Grace and Mercy said, get up, son. Go home. Go home, because home is where the heart is.
Yes, sir.
Your mother's worrying about you.
Yes,
She asking your father, baby, when he's coming home. You going to get him.
All right.
He's coming home. Sooner or later, he said, look at my father's servant. He eating better than me, sleeping better than me, warm in the winter, cold. And here I am in the last place I want to be, in a pig pen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you ever been in a pig pen?
Hey. Oh, been there,
have you ever been so low that you couldn't raise your head? See, when you come, see, when you come to this house, this is your father's house. He loved you no matter what you have did. He gets up, walks home, head down, and his father looks, wait a minute, that looks like, that walks like my son. He tells the servant to go tell my wife the son is on his way home. He gets home and he couldn't look his dad in the eyes. He said, Daddy, Father, forgive me. Uh-huh. And Daddy, forgive me for being selfish. I can imagine the father said, son, I was there when your mother carried you for 9 months. I was there when you was first born. The blood is running through your vein, running through mine. I love you no matter what you've done. And he calls the servant. Can I go ahead? He calls the servant. Go get the barber to bring in and to cut my son's hair. Y'all clean him up. Clean him up. Then when you get through cleaning him up, and cutting him up hair, I need you to go to my closet. Uh-huh. Get the finest robe in there.
Yeah.
Bid on him.
Yeah.
This is my child.
Yeah.
He once was lost.
Wow.
Now he's found.
Yeah, yeah.
He never saw the sight. Oh. See, it doesn't matter what you did. The Lord always wait on you. He loved you no matter what you've done. When you can come to his house, I forgive you. Now forgive yourself. He takes your forgiveness, balls it up, throws it in the sea of forgiveness, and he never, never, never think about it ever again. Huh? The only person to think about it is you. The son got there, said, Daddy, you mean to tell me you love me? Yes, you my son. That's how the Lord loves you. The Lord loves you for what you did. I know what you're saying. I did too much. I love church. I have drunk too much. Smoked too much weed. I did some stuff that nobody else knows. And you know what the Lord telling you? Don't worry about it. That ain't me. I love you for who he is. I can get you in here. Bet you in the finest robes. But diamonds on your finger. Loving you for who you are. The prodigal son. And he tells the butcher, go out there. Kill the fattest calf. And oh, now you know, you have to understand jealousy gonna start kicking in at the windmill. The oldest son thought he was, you mean to tell me daddy's throwing a party? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And he telling them and told one of the servants, and now he ain't throwing it for you. Your younger brother